Morning, everybody. Welcome to the May 22nd, 2018 Sussex County Council meeting. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. One change today. We can remove item number one under County Administrator recognition of retiree Mary Sue Sharp. Ms. Sharp is unavailable today. We'll try to reschedule that.
I thought you decided not to retire.
Entertained motion to approve the amended agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second.
Second.
Mr. Wilson, any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. We had the minutes of the May 8th budget workshop and May 15th council meeting. Any questions, corrections, concerns, either one of those? Hearing none, those stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay, public comment, Mr. Guy. I'm sure we've got a couple. Paul Rigger. Oh.
Good morning.
Morning.
May 20th, you passed that ordinance for the 5-foot setbacks on the undersized lots for the front and back. I'd just like to place something. It's for you, please. It's your own thing.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in reference to this proposed ordinance? Anyone else? Yes.
Can you guys address that? I mean,
actually, I can. There's actually a proposed section that says for any lot with side or rear yard setback reduced by operation of 115-183D, no structures shall extend or project closer than 5 feet from the lot line. So that would address that nothing can encroach and you get 5 feet and everything needs to comply with 5 feet. No structures can be closer than 5 feet from the lot line.
And those structures?
Side.
Yep. Side and rear.
Side.
Because there's already a provision that doesn't allow anything to encroach more than 5 feet into your front yard.
And a structure is what?
A structure is...
Well, it could be a dwelling, could be an HVAC unit. I mean, things that we usually will see for various...
Shed, a deck, steps.
Steps.
So we use the term structure because it's more encompassing if we used, if we try to list it.
So the steps can't go into the 5 feet as well.
Correct.
That's right. Nothing goes in.
Correct.
Nothing goes over to 5 feet.
Overhangs can go over a little bit, but nothing, no structure, I mean, no HVAC, no decks, no outdoor showers, no trash enclosures, no steps are going to be able to encroach.
And we put that language in there because there is a provision that allows in the code certain things to project into it. And we wanted to make it clear that if you're using this provision because you're a small undersized lot and you're getting those reduced side and rear yard setbacks, that we're not allowing you to project those other things into it. Okay. So that was a way to clear that up.
Paul's comment of a hardship would not be created.
As and the standard we have is the hardship standard. It's an exceptional practical difficulty standard. That's the one that we have before it. That's a legal question.
Basically, is what it was. Last night, you had another Board of Adjustment hearing come in for an undersized lot. It came in for 4 variances, 3 for the side, or a couple of them for the side, and then 1 for either the front or the rear, and then 1 for the AC unit on a 40 by 100 foot lot, new construction. I thought that by understanding of when you did the code and wrote the ordinance, that by going from the GR and AR setbacks and going to the 5 feet, these were gonna say that's where we're at, that's what we're given, and we're done. Unless it's a true hardship or something differently. But last night there was no questions raised by planning and zoning, whoever represented planning and zoning, the assistant county attorney, nothing in regards to the AC unit coming in for, I believe, like a 3.4 setback. So if I'm hearing that correctly and listening to it, it went, what, 1 foot 8 inches off the property line for the AC unit? So it's just like, when that was all discussed, Mr. Burton had reiterated and probably put it more clear to what I was asking during that hearing, is if an ordinance, you're going to spend the time doing the ordinance and writing it correctly, why isn't it relaying down to the Board of Adjustment or to the other boards what it means? I would think that somebody on county staff or through our legal system would iterate this is what the county council's intention was to do when we did the ordinance, and this is what we'd like for it to imply. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
Good morning. My name is Dan Kramer. I just want to tell you how ugly you are.
Is that it? You never cease to amaze me, Mr. Kramer. You never cease to amaze me. Mr. Lawson.
Back on that Board of Adjustment thing, the definition of nothing ever, could somebody explain? We did an ordinance. What does that mean?
Well, you did.
We heard with nothing goes into that 5 feet.
And that would be the case, but you would still have an opportunity to file for a variance for that. And I don't know the case that he was referencing.
It should be a high bar to meet, you would think, when we stated that nothing. So anyway, that's I got concerns that somewhere along the line, I think he alluded to a lack of communication or something, possibly. I don't know.
Well, it was applied for and came up before the board, so they have to act on it.
Well, I know that. Yes. I know that. But they had four variances, and one of them was within that 5 feet. And I remember, and after hearing what he just played, that we did emphasize nothing. And somewhere there's a miscommunication or something.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, we're here today to make our fiscal year 2019 budget presentation to County Council as well as the public. Members of Council, you'll see at your desks a document that outlines our fiscal year 2019 budget recommendation. We're going to go into some detail related to the information contained in that document today through our presentation. And if you have any questions, by all means, feel free to ask. I'm going to start here, and then Ms. Jennings and I will start our PowerPoint down at the podium. Mr. President, members of Council, as required by Title IX of the Delaware Code, I respectfully submit the proposed annual operating budget for Sussex County for fiscal year 2019. The FY19 proposed budget was developed by a budget team consisting of the county administrator, the finance director, and the deputy finance director. This recommended budget was drafted after receiving individual requests from each county department and meeting with the respective directors to discuss their needs. We greatly appreciate the efforts of these directors and their staff in assisting us in producing this budget. And as you'll see in the audience, Mr. President, several of our team is joining us today for this presentation. The fiscal 2019 forecast is consistent with the fiscal 2018, to which we are seeing positive growth in the real estate market. Fiscal 2018 revenues from the housing sector are expected to be 5% over fiscal 17. The county's largest revenue source, realty transfer tax, is expected to climb for the fifth year in a row. Relying on RTT collection for operations does present a risk due to the volatile nature of the funding. With that said, the growth of RTT is allowing the county to increase funding in areas to promote safety and economic development. Although the demand for county services continues to increase and the shift of costs from the state to the county loom, we continue to take a conservative approach to the expansion of the county government. To ensure sustainability, the county's budget follows these financial policies and goals. Prepare a balanced budget with minimal increases. Maintain an operating reserve of at least 25%. Continue to fund above the actuarial determined level of funding for pensions and pension benefits. Operate without tax-supported debt. Continue financial practices that maintain an AA strong bond rating. Use technology to streamline and automate business practices to help keep up with the demand for services. And continue the pay-as-you-go philosophy for capital project funds. The budget was prepared with some assumptions. We assume the county will continue to receive 1.5% of realty transfer tax on eligible properties in unincorporated areas, and its cost share percentages with the state of Delaware will remain the same. This budget represents a collaborative effort among the budget team and department heads. Again, I want to thank everyone for their understanding of the challenges we face in developing this balanced budget. I also want to thank the County Council for its leadership and continued fiscal responsibility, which have helped build a strong foundation that has allowed this government to continue to live within its means. Sussex County's economy continues a positive trend. While I remain optimistic about the county's future, I believe we will continue to operate within a reasonable financial philosophy. The positive trends have allowed the county to respond to calls for additional services while focusing on the areas of greatest need. This philosophy governs the decisions in developing this year's budget and provides guidance throughout the year as we fulfill our financial fiduciary duty to the citizens of this great county. Okay, we're going to jump into our PowerPoint presentation now, which will go into the specifics of our budget. We're going to move down to the podium. Okay, we have several slides to go through this year's budget. This follows the information at your desk as well as what's being presented online and inside the council chambers. One thing I always like to do in our annual presentation is to reference and highlight the work that's taking place right now at the County Council with the budget that we're currently in and all the hard work that staff is embarking on as we go through our FY18 budget, closing that out. Suffice it to say, you'll see a theme today. We're very busy. The calls for additional services from our citizens and residents and visitors continue to grow, and I think we are presenting a balanced approach to those calls for additional services. And reacting in a very positive yet conservative manner. So in the next few slides, you will see several highlights of the activity level that we're experiencing today in FY18. But we also want to tie that into our mission statement here at Sussex County, which is written on the left-hand side. And you can see the underlined portions of the mission statement tie back into the bullets there on the right. This is contained in the materials. I'm not going to read every one of these bullets, but it is important to talk about some of the services that we're seeing and the calls for services, demands that we're seeing, particularly as it relates to our offices in the development world, building code, planning, zoning, engineering, as well as public safety services in paramedics and EOC 911. Starting with the first bullet. This year, we've responded to 26,337 times EMS calls. That's a 7% increase over last year. We've also achieved a 12% improvement in the EMS scene arrivals of 8 minutes or less over the last 2 years. Moving down to the bottom, we've continued our leadership in the statewide effort for active assailant policy and training. Our next slide highlights our well-being and our promoting our well-being and prosperity and enriched quality of life here in Sussex. You all are very well aware of our assistance to the needy. This year we've assisted over 230 households with housing repairs. This council approved the Excite Fund, Sussex Fund, which leveraged $750,000 and created a $4 million loan fund. And our county libraries were visited over 280,000 times in the last year. Next slide, focusing on providing services in a personal and professional manner. Top bullet, we've uploaded over 170,000 property record cards to our new assessment software. You're familiar with the CAMA software, which will go live this summer. Before we could do that, we had to upload every single property record in Sussex County's possession, 170,000 paper cards, which eventually will go away and will be fully electronic. Decreased public works development plan review turnaround to an average of 18 days. Reduce the amount of time on the road by the building code inspectors by implementing a paperless inspection process, and signed up more than 45% of our vendors for electronic payment processing. Next slide focuses on providing services in a personal, professional, and fiscally responsible manner. We added $100 million to the assessment roll this last year, received and processed all tax payments within one working day during the busy tax season, and for the fifth consecutive year, we saw a decline in our workers' comp claims paid. Okay, to sum it all up, this is our activity barometer, we're calling this, and each one of these rows represents a specific thing that the county tracks, administration or finance tracks throughout the county's operations. And this is a highlight of the last year's activity level. So in the left-hand column is the activity. For instance, first row says number of permits issued, that's building permits. The second column is FY 2014 and the number that we're tracking. The third column is the current year and the number, and then the percentage increase represented by that activity level. This clearly shows what activity we're talking about and the increases that we're seeing. So, number of permits issued, up 33%. Next row down, building code inspections, up 37%. Fire, BLS, ALS, 911 calls for service, up 13%. EMS responses, up 26%. Patrons visiting our county-owned libraries, up 20%. Moving down the line, P&Z revenue up 30%. Public Works revenue up 195%. Down at the bottom, sewer and road inspections, our county road inspections or sewer inspections, up 179%. And new water and sewer customers in our districts up 6%. Again, a highlight of the level of activity that we're seeing. I think it's important for the council and the public to see this and recognize it. Also, for you to know what the county staff is doing.
What was the number of airport operations? Is that just landings? And
takeoffs and landings,
that,
yes.
That's what,
yes,
I wonder
defined
what,
by the
what
FAA.
Operations you were...
Have we seen anything, Todd, that's decreased?
Have we? That's a good question.
No.
We can look into that.
Unless you're
Okay, let's jump into the budget highlights in specific for this year's recommendation.
Good question. Stick with me, Bobby.
Okay, as in years past, we break out our budget request in our specific funds, and you can see them listed here: general fund, capital projects, water and sewer fund, capital projects, water and sewer, and our pension. I won't say all the numbers, but general fund at $74 million, capital projects general fund $16 million, water and sewer fund $38 million, capital projects water and sewer $40 million, and pension $6 million, for a total recommendation of $176,988,402. Let's talk about specifics. The general fund budget is up $5.4 million. To equate that $5.4 million, we're seeing a $0.9 million increase in our paramedics and emergency preparedness operations. We're also seeing a $0.9 million increase in pension contribution. $3.6 million in grant and aid, which include $1.5 million in our sports complex loan, $1 million increase for land preservation, $900,000 increase to our public safety agencies, including ALS, BLS, and state police, and a $75,000 increase in emergency housing repairs. $14.3 million in reserve is being used for one-time expenses. Governmental capital plan without general fund debt is at a $16.6 million level. We are not recommending any changes to the county property tax rate. However, there are some changes in our fees, which we'll go over in more detail, to include the recorder of deeds, sewer assessment rates, and our sewer and water services. Okay, let's talk about some of the highlights of this year's budget expenditure. As in years past, we are focused on public safety, wastewater infrastructure, and economic development. You can see highlighted here $16.2 million for our Sussex County paramedic system, emergency medical services. That's our full-in cost before the state reimbursement. $4.3 million for our fire and ambulance services. It's the money that we help our local fire companies and ambulance companies. $3.6 million for our Sussex County 911 Center, our dispatchers, as well as our emergency preparedness.
$3.1 million for additional Delaware State Troopers here in Sussex County. That's the state contract for our additional 22 troopers. And $575,000 for local law enforcement grants. That's the funds we give to our local Sussex towns for their law enforcement activities. Our wastewater infrastructure is seeing a $21 million for Rehoboth Wastewater Treatment Plant improvements, $6 million for Unified Sewer District, $5 million for Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, and $2.8 million for South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities. Economic development is focused on the airport and the business park, $8.5 million for infrastructure improvements, $1.2 million to continue our broadband expansion and infrastructure needs there, and $100,000 for additional economic development initiatives. This is a slide you're familiar with. We like to show what a dollar's worth of Sussex County tax is going to. As in years past, the majority of your tax dollars are being spent on public safety. For every dollar, that's 58 cents being spent on public safety.
Todd, just to clarify for our public, it's not what we, it's not what's billed, but it's what we keep, correct? So in other words, that bill, we only keep 14%, correct?
For county property taxes, yes, the breakdown is 86-14.
I want to make sure that that's understood. This is this is based on the 14%, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
So with that county portion of the tax dollar, for every dollar spent, 58 cents is spent on public safety. And you can see the other breakdowns, libraries being next, and then general government. That's our just our general government operations.
So actually, we spent over $16 million for paramedics.
We are recommending a $16.2 million for paramedics. That's before the state reimbursement of right now currently.
I made that comment some other day. Somebody said I was wrong, so I just want to see if I, how far I'm off.
$16 million is the number right now, and I believe as we speak, the Joint Finance Committee is determining our long-term fate as they are debating the paramedic reimbursement percentage for this year.
Does this include the $1 million spent for 2 acres we bought? The $1 million we spent over in Seaford area? We spent $1 million for 2 acres? Does this include it?
It does not.
Does that include it?
It does not.
That's property gain, right?
Before we go to the
clarify, it wasn't really. Mr. Cole has a question. Just real quick. If we have a, I mean, the economy's going good and everything looks great. Okay, we have another downturn. I guess transfer taxes are impacted the first. What of that dollar bill? I know public safety, most of the public safety is from transfer taxes. So if we have another downturn, where are the impacts? I mean, it's all that public safety. Is there anything else that we could see?
I do have a slide when we get to related
because
transfer
we still
tax.
Have to provide the services, and yet, you know, we're going to get less money to do that with.
That's correct. It is something that we have to focus on and look at.
Right. That's
and
to say,
correct.
Long term, that thing fluctuates, and it's always worrisome.
Yes.
To have a fluctuating income.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson, the property you're referencing, the Seaford Paramedics, future Seaford Paramedic Station, which we will talk about in a future slide here, that was purchased with this year FY18 funding. How much did we spend for that property?
Half a million.
$500,000 for that property.
I thought it was $1 million for 2 acres. Mm-hmm. Or half, $500,000. I thought it was
$500,000. You got the acreage right, the dollar amount wrong.
In other words, it's
two acres for $500,000.
In other words, I thought it was $500,000 per acre.
No, you're wrong. You're no, sir.
You're wrong.
So Ms. Jennings is going to jump into the general fund specifics.
First time I've ever been wrong.
Good morning, everybody. So we'll talk about some of the highlights in the general fund. As Mr. Lawson mentioned, there is no tax increase proposed. We are using reserves for one-time expenses, and I will go through that in another couple slides. And as Mr. Arlett alluded to, the average county tax bill is $114. Usually you get about an $800 tax bill in the mail, and that represents 14% of it. So that's where you get the 14. Taxable assessment increase is 2.7%. That equates to about $300,000. That's the result of building permit improvements. The overall revenue in this budget, we are seeing a $3.2 million increase or 5.7%. And the majority of it, as you can see in the table below, is the building-related revenue. That's increased 2.8 million. So the 2.8 plus the taxable assessments of the 300,000, you can see where we're getting close to the 3.2 million. So down below, you see the increases. You do see the largest increase being realty transfer tax at 2.4 million. Continuing with the building related revenue, and it is important, as Mr. Cole stated, to focus on this because it is volatile and it depends on how the economy goes. So you can see where it had dipped in 2010, 2011, and we're slowly seeing an increase going back up. 2018 shows a decrease because it's a budget number. We budget 85% of what we expect to bring in because we don't want to rely on it completely at 100%. So at the end of 2018, I do expect it to surpass 2017 by about 4%. And then 2019 represents 85% of what I expect to see in 2018. So the chart would continue to increase if I showed actual numbers, but 2018 and 19 are budgeted numbers. So looking at total funding sources, what supports our general fund budget? So the largest part is realty transfer tax. This is nothing new. We have seen this surpass property tax for many years. This is a slight increase. Last year it was 29%. The other large one is other financing sources, and that's where I'm saying we're using our appropriate reserves or savings to help fund some of these one-time expenditures. So half of our pie is realty transfer tax and savings, and a quarter of it is property taxes. I'll get into a little more detail now on realty transfer tax and the other financing sources.
Is there any concern, because I know some of the small towns in Sussex County relied on their transfer tax and then had issues financially, or with that substantial number, do we long term, do we have a plan to deal with it possibly?
Other than budgeting at a percentage of it and not full of it, okay, and using it for grants and infrastructure, okay, things that are easy, that we better do it while the economy is good, because when it's not, and I have some things in the budget that you'll see that helps protect the sustainability.
I don't know if that's healthy to do that long term, right, like right, to see those percentages.
Right.
And I'm not an accountant, but I think. Yes.
But you budget 85% of the 30%.
Correct. And actually, operations on here is less than 80%. But yeah. Just to fill you in with the other things are charges of services. That's your building permit fees, zoning fees, marriage licenses, sheriff sales, anything that we charge for. That is showing a slight increase. Federal funding is showing a decrease. That's the intergovernmental part. That's our grants that we get. And that's because of CDBG seeing about a $600,000 decrease in that category. So looking at realty transfer tax and the trend that we have seen. So you can see we have in 2006 collected the $35.3 million. I'm anticipating collecting again over $30 million in 18, but we're budgeting a percentage of that again at $22.5 million. That is just in the operation side, which includes some of our grants, you know, things like that, that we could look at if this were to decrease or if the formula at the state were to change. But we do need to be very careful on how this revenue is impacted that we have no control over. Mm-hmm. But I do want to show we're also using $5 million of it in the infrastructure side of things. So when we want to build a new public safety building or a paramedic station, we're using that money as we're getting it in to help with our infrastructure in the time that it's that we're seeing the money come in. So you can see now from $30 million, then if you use the infrastructure, $27 million. Get into the other question Mr. Cole had. So this is what we use realty transfer tax on. So this is the part that would be affected if we saw a decrease. So you can see the majority of our use is in public safety. And by state law, we only can use realty transfer tax for five different categories. Here's three of them that we use it for: public safety, economic development, and infrastructure. Now this is just the operation side. So if I put in the other $5 million, infrastructure would increase slightly. But the public safety side, paramedics, so that's the paramedic side minus the grant we get from the state. So that's how much we would have to pay for the paramedic side. EOC, same thing. The fire companies, how much that we provide in grant that's not other revenue sources. So again, most of it's the public safety side. What I'm doing on the right-hand side is showing we have $22,500,000 in the budget for realty transfer tax. The rest of it is all the expenses that are eligible for realty transfer tax. So at the end of the day, I only have $121,820 left that is eligible. So I am using all the realty transfer tax that I can to support these.
And if we did have a downturn, it wouldn't go to zero. So, but it would impact those numbers.
This is what it would impact.
If we're going to keep providing at these levels, we'd have to find the money elsewhere, correct?
That is correct.
Gina, what's the $5 million I lost you on the infrastructure?
That's in the capital budget side. So when we talk about capital, you'll see another pie chart that'll say how much we're coming in from realty. And that has to do with the public safety buildings that we're proposing, the paramedic stations, the infrastructure for the broadband, those types of things.
Are you counting them as one-time expenses?
Those are one-time expenses, yes.
Okay, so you're accounting for the $5 million, but you're assuming that next year mm-hmm. you won't have that.
That's correct.
It should be gone, in other words.
Yes.
This is operations only.
Yes.
Okay. There's one thing that I see here. You're down. We make 26,337 calls, which got a 7% increase. So with that many calls, paramedics going to be on the road more times. Is that correct? They're going to be on the road more than ordinary would be. 7%
more. I don't know
more,
if they'll be on the road, but they will certainly be making more calls, yes.
So they're not going to be at stations that much time. They're going to be out of stations that much. If they're going to be out, they're going to be on the road 7% more. So that means they're going to be out of stations at less. So why are we building more stations?
We're park those cars.
We have a slide on public safety. We'll talk about paramedic stations.
And George says we need to park the cars.
Got to park them. Have a place to keep them. Store.
So the other part of the pie chart that was large was the use of appropriated reserves or other financing sources, as it said on the pie chart. So those are where we're spending savings. And I want you to note that when we're spending savings, it is on one-time expenditures. But I feel like they're important, especially the pension contribution of $10 million. You know, we have a large liability out there, and in order to sustain in the future, now that we have this money coming in right now, is the time to pay that down so that when we try to sustain, our obligation from the actuary will be lower. So I'll get into a little more detail there. The Sports Foundation loan that was voted on this fiscal year, there's been no drawdown, so I have to rebudget it for next year. We have $1 million contingency. Land preservation, we'll get into that in the future. Economic development loan, this is the Excite Sussex loan program that you voted on this year. We plan on having drawdowns next year, so we put that in there. The CIB carryover grant, again, we promised some funds for the James Farm. They have not pulled down yet, so then we rebudget that. The carryover constable grant, this is a grant from the state, money we've already received that we haven't spent, again, rebudgeted. And our continued commitment to Dell Tech, we are also providing a $60,000 grant. This is a two-year commitment for their automobile garage that they're building out there. Okay, so there is one fee that we would like to propose to actually decrease. It's not an increase, but the reason we would like to decrease is because we want to entice the legal community to use our software that we have purchased outside this building to hopefully reduce cost in-house by not having maybe a much staff or overhead, by having visitors to the building. So we're hoping that this would entice the use. Right now we get little to no use in this. So what I did was the first column is the current fee. Then I have the proposed fee in the next column, and then I threw the other two counties out there just to give you a comparison what the other two counties do. So there are two different tiers. There's a non-subscriber, so that's just somebody that goes in occasionally and wants to look at a document and download the document. Currently, it's $1 per page. So you could have one document that has 10 pages. You're paying for each of those pages. The proposed fee is $1 per document. So if the document has 20 pages or 30 pages, it's still $1. Again, that's no extra cost to us because it's just somebody accessing the system. So it should be going down to $1. The subscriber charge, so this is for a heavy user. So if you pay $50 a month, Currently, you pay $50 a month and you get a discount for each page downloaded. It's 25 cents. What we're proposing is similar to what Kent County has, $50 a month per subscription, and it's free downloads. You have access to the database. This is what gives you that access. So, and also, we're offering something that the other counties don't have, that if you are a larger legal attorney, you have more staff, you want to get up to 10 subscriptions, we discount it, and it'd be $300 a month. So these fees are supported by Mr. Scott Daly, who is here in the audience, to show his support. And we will have an ordinance for you to introduce and go through the public hearing as well when we get to that.
I want to see what he looks like.
Mr. Fiscally Responsible back there. That's good.
So how are you going to collect that 50 cents, since I'm only one-time user?
It's electronic.
It'll be electronic.
On my bank account. Yep. So going on to how our expenditures, we've spent a lot of time on the revenue side. So now what's the expenditure side in the general fund? So you've seen this chart over and over. It's where each department, most of the funds are spent. You'll notice that on this side as well, public safety is the largest expenditure. So if you add paramedics at 22% and emergency preparedness, the 5%, that's 27%. So more than a quarter is directed at public safety. That doesn't include the public safety that's already in the grant and aid portion as well. So with that said, grant and aid is the next largest part of the pie, and it is up $3.6 million with one-time expenditure grants. The general government includes admin, finance, HR, IT, just the supporting function of the government. Other financing uses, there's no change in that this year. It is the $10 million contribution in pension plus the $1.6 million for contingency purchases. So since public safety is the largest portion of our expenditures, I feel it's important to highlight this separately. And you can see that in total, there is an operational increase of almost $1 million between the two paramedics and the EOC side. EMS responses are up 26% over the last 3 years, and the 911 calls for services are up 13%. And when we go through the staffing levels, we do see an increase in the EOC side to help with those calls of service.
Careful, you said EOC, so we're talking people calling
emergency,
in?
Emergency, yeah, the 911 center.
So they've increased 26%, you mentioned, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, calls
in the last 3 years.
For the last 3 years.
Yeah, so that's pretty significant.
Well, that's EMS responses is 26, EMS calls for service is 13%. There is also money in the capital budget of $1.5 million to support public safety, and we will get into the capital portion of the budget later in the presentation. Okay, there's another way of looking at our expenses, and it's important to look at our cost drivers. Not just the departments. So what drives the cost of government? And as in most governments, it is the salaries and benefits at 47%. So it is very important for us to keep an eye on that part of the pie and look at what's driving the costs. So personnel summary, health insurance costs are up 2%, which is fairly good. We've been seeing a 4 to 6% trend. So that's about $200,000 increase. So it's kind of leveled off for us. It's a good thing. Pension, our actuary is requiring us to contribute 28% of our gross salaries. And the reason this is so high is because we have such a large unfunded liability that we do want to pay down with the next bullet of the $10 million contribution. So that increase works out to be about another $1 million in our expenses, our annual expenses. We want to continue the 3% contribution for new hires. The 13 paid holidays and 2 floating holidays is the same as any election year. We are recommending a 2% COLA, cost of living adjustment. And over on the right, you will see the new positions that we are recommending. So there are 9 positions that are in the budget that are new. However, we are losing 4 other positions in other departments that are not needed for a net of 5 positions. So when you look at the budget in the chart below, when it gives you the trend of our employees, where we started at 549 and we went to 515, that 5 increase is the positions, the nine that you see, minus the four that we're not filling this year to get to the five.
Gene, if you could, on the 2% COLA, can you just reiterate how we arrive at that?
Sure. We use the inflation rate established by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Okay. Thank you.
Where are you at with the $10 million contribution as it relates to fully funding it?
Very good question. That'll be two slides from now.
Can you wait?
I'm anticipating your questions. So, I feel because this is a large part of the expense, we need to justify these positions. So just as Mr. Lawson had shown, we had all those statistics, and I just want to highlight those statistics, which are in blue, as the ones that are showing the increase and the ones that we choose to increase because of the level of activity. So building code inspections are up 37% over 3 years, so we are adding a clerk in there. We again are adding two dispatchers, and you'll see 911 calls for service over the 3 years is up 13%. We have one librarian in there, and you can see patron visits of our libraries are up 20% in 3 years. Planning and zoning, building permit revenue up 30%. We have another planner in the budget. Register of wills, we have another position in that budget as well. They're seeing a 39%. Sewer and road inspections up 179%, adding two positions in that budget to help with the inspections. And water and sewer customers, we saw that that's up 6%, so the sewer fund has an additional electrician in that budget.
Last couple of slides, and as it relates to the increase of the paramedic expense, the increase of the EOC calls, the increase, which I didn't realize it was to that degree, but of a register of wills. So can we assume that the increase in these areas are due to because of the demographic of our elderly and retirees that are coming here?
Yeah, so at the bottom, you'll see the population of Sussex in 3 years has increased 7%. So we know that most of that population is elderly, but as the population goes up, so do our needs for service.
Do we have a percent? Do we have any inkling of that percent as it relates to those that are coming in, i.e. retirees?
Do
we have any feeling of that?
We do, and we had some of that discussion during our comp plan workshops as it relates to the 55 and older, 65 and older demographic in our population, which is representing double-digit increases in the population influx in Sussex County. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it's clearly a current trend. I would say with that activity in our comp plan and our preparation for the budget, one of the other highlights of this budget is, and our recommendation, is the fact that we're seeing a 7% increase in just the people that are moving and living here. This doesn't even account for those that are visiting here. Right. So public safety has to apply to both. If you're in this county and you have to dial 911 or have fire, ambulance, or paramedics come, you're here, and that demand is hitting our services right now, and it's clearly a direct connection to more people being here, increased call for services.
So to perhaps respond to an earlier comment, maybe it's the responsible thing for this council to do is to make sure that we're funding the needs of our public.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I will make one comment, just so don't lose sight of this in the big picture. Certainly retirees are moving here. We understand that. Visitors come here. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that today in this county, in this state, in this country, one thing driving paramedic calls and calls going to 911 center is the opioid issue. A lot of these things are people on overdoses and that kind of stuff. So don't lose sight. It's not all people retiring here. We have a serious issue in this county and state with opioid issues, and we got to deal with that somehow.
Very good point.
Mr. President, don't you believe they're bringing a lot of that with them?
I have no idea where it comes from, Mr. Wilson. I have no idea.
That's probably coming in with the tourists, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know about that. I know this.
I don't believe
every day they're getting calls.
I don't believe farmers help run this call stuff any. I think farmers are keeping pretty well level ground.
Then you'll want to do something to protect farmland, don't you?
I believe so.
There you go. That's good.
So
I count on your vote.
I was able to read Mr. Burton's mind, and I put the slide up here. And
well, you're so one of the few.
as of fiscal year 17, we had a pension liability of $38.9 million. Okay, so that is the audited number that shows up in our financial statement. That's a funded percentage on our health insurance side of 68% and the pension side of 79%.
That's 2017. You were 38.
That's 2017. Correct. Correct. So I don't have actuary numbers, so I don't want to use these because the next down are my estimates.
Gina, if I could, before you move on to that number, just because of how you just shared that, mm-hmm. can you compare that with other counties or other jurisdictions, if you would, mm-hmm. as it relates to are we at a real big issue, challenge, concern, or is it somewhat normal for, is it normal, or could you address that, if you would?
Okay. So the average of pension percentage in the U.S. is 74%. The OPEB, I have searched and searched, and I don't think they want to release that number, maybe, because I've heard, especially like at the state, they just fund as you go. You know, they just put enough in, so there is no, it's a lot of liability there.
Right.
So I am, but just because other governments do that doesn't mean that we should be following suit.
Agreed.
We have a liability that we promised that we need to fund. This is not for the current employees. This is what we already have and that they've been invested in. So if this is what we promised, we should fund it. Also, it'll help us for sustainability purposes in the future to keep this going. Now, when I've gotten our bond rating, you know, I get the report, you know, we just stayed the same. They always say, you know, you need to look at your pension liability because we're a very high bond rating. To keep that high bond rating, you need to focus on this pension contribution. So that's what I'm taking their advice in yep. doing that. So what I'm recommending is the 18, we put in 10 million. I divided up between OPEB and pension. Again, pension's always been the focus. So I feel this year in 19, we need to keep it in the pension side. That's where most of our liability falls. So when I back out the 2 years of additional contributions, I estimate, and this is my estimation, not from the actuary, we still have an $18.9 million liability after those 2 years of contributions. So that gives us a funded percentage of 77%, in the OPEB side and 93% in the pension. So we're still not 100%, but we're definitely doing a lot better. And again, this is very important so that right now we're putting $7 million just in operation side of things. So we got $10 million just additional and then a $7 million contribution. So a total of $17 million expense this year going into pension. It'd be nice to get that $7 million number down.
It's also noteworthy. You mentioned what is that? Is it 14? Is that the second line there? 21 million. Is that what year is that?
That's 17.
That's 17.
17. And then the 18, 19 contributions.
Gotcha. So I mean, in what 2 years, 3 years, you're taking that number from 21 million, almost basically 22 million, down to 7 million. Is that correct?
Correct. Or look at the blue side. We had a $40 million, $39 million liability minus the 20, down to 18.
Yeah, that's huge. So,
Gina, I just so I understand all this.
Yes.
Last year we adopted a budget.
Yes.
July 1st.
Yes.
And we were going to put 5 and 5 in the pension and the OPEB.
Yep.
Why is that still showing up there? We haven't done it.
Because that was fiscal year 18, which we're in today. So I don't get an actuary report on 18 until we close the books.
Okay.
So I wanted to report to you on a audited number. This is not Gina reporting on what it is. That's
have we spent that $10 million?
Yeah,
have we invested
million,
that in the pension?
That's already in there. It okay. absolutely is in there. Okay. But to give you an actuary number, okay. I feel more comfortable. I want to give you the facts
sure.
that I can
that's
give
fine.
You those solid facts.
You know, I think a promise made is a promise kept, right? And that's what you're doing there.
Correct. Very
and,
good.
And like George says, there'll be a downturn sometime, right? We don't want to, but
right.
the when times are good, fund what you can, which is right. I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to highlight some of the grant expenditures in the next few slides. Previous slides, we talked about expenditures, and 21% of our expenditures are within the grant category. This is a breakout of that category. Again, highlight 53% public safety. We'll get into more detail where that money is going. Looking around the pie chart, 16% going to libraries. That includes our funding for the 11 independent libraries throughout Sussex County. And then 14% for economic development. That does include our expenditures for the Excite Sussex loan. Some of the other smaller percentages, open space, community assistance, and ag and drainage, that relates back to our Sussex Conservation District funds for ag and drainage. So let me highlight some of the specifics. This showing public safety. We are recommending nearly a $900,000 increase in public safety grants, and here are the numbers. Delaware State Police indicating an increase in their services, so we're recommending $3.1 million for FY19 budget. Again, that's for the 22 troopers in our contract that we have with the state. Local law enforcement, that's our funding that we give to the towns for their law enforcement activity. And then fire BLS, we are recommending an increase in FY19 to $4.2 million. That does include an additional $500,000 specifically earmarked for ambulance companies in Sussex County. As you know, the ambulance community has reached out to the county and to their local municipalities regarding their increased costs and services, and the county is stepping up and dedicating $500,000 earmarked specifically to ambulance services, bringing that total to nearly $8 million. The breakout below in the chart, it shows our individual fire and BLS funding. As you're aware, we do have separate pots of money highlighted down at the very bottom, fire enhancement, ambulance BLS, our fire companies, equipment, and interest grants. You can see the trend line, and we're trending at about the same clip.
Todd, before you move on, if you could, back to the DSP, there's an increase of $200,000. There's no new troopers, correct? So what can we address why that there we have a $200,000 increase?
Correct. So it's about a 6% increase, and I've looked at both their table last year and this year, and believe it or not, it's pension. So they have required to contribute more as well as we are. They've seen about a 2% increase in their salaries. They did have a contract negotiation with the shift differential, things like that. So I have verified what it is that's driving it, but it's their cost of employment.
Well, just like ours is.
Just
like that, sure.
Any other questions on public safety? Okay. Land preservation and open space funding. This is not a new topic for Sussex County and the council, but it is a new line item for this year's budget. Council has signaled that they would like to participate in land preservation and open space funding this year, so staff has recommended a $1 million line item for these activities. Let me show you what we've done previously in the chart below. We have land trust funding in previous budgets. You can see that row across, and we also have farmland preservation funding. Previously, we've set aside nearly $8.8 million for those two funding activities. Since 2003, we've spent $7.2 million on easement acquisition and land preservation via open space. And you can see the acreage that we've acquired, 3,300 roughly acres of land that has been preserved, or easements that have been purchased, participating in the state farmland preservation program. However, in more recent years, we have not acquired any of those easements or acreage. Nearly 10 years for the farmland preservation and open space activity. However, we've had money set aside in reserve. So this $1 million is not new money to Sussex County. It's just money that's been set aside for this activity. We're sliding it over into this year's budget because council has signaled to us that we want to participate moving forward in FY19. So we have $1.6 million in reserve currently. We're earmarking $1 million in this year's budget for this. And as we move into FY19, the council will give us direction on how we want to acquire additional land, whether it be through the next round of farmland preservation or open space acquisition. We'll leave that in council's hands, but there will be money set aside for that. Okay, another item you're very familiar with, emergency housing funding. This year, council, during one of our public council meetings here in chambers, signaled that you support additional funding in this line item. So we are recommending $75,000 additional funding to aid those most in need. I will tell you, the people that access this funding through our community development and housing office are in desperate need. And these are homes that have no running water, no heat, need handicap accessibility, have roofs that leak, electrical issues, and plumbing issues. We are recommending a $75,000 increase. We estimate that will allow us to assist 125 households. We do have a prioritization list. So folks with disabilities, 65 years and older, households at or below 30% AMI.
What is that number? Is there a number with that? Households at or below 30%?
So,
is there a number?
The annual median income in Sussex County for a household is about $65,000. Depends on the size of the household. That's what it is.
There is a table.
Yeah, 30% of that. It's very low, yes.
Todd, is it possible, and I bring this up only because I was just at a property yesterday morning, and priority. Can we also ensure that there's a priority placed on a household that includes children, if we don't already? I don't know if we've had that conversation, but I will share with you that there was a property that our sheriff got involved yesterday, and there was involved kids, and I think we need to make sure that we're addressing those needs too in some capacity. So I think we have to make sure that we do that. If I don't know if we bring, I just want to throw it out there as a, sure, as a thought process. Well, so to ensure that we include,
we can address that with our staff. I didn't reference, but I do want to reference veterans as well as a category that the council puts as a high priority. And these aren't large makeovers, right? This is just the repairs needed to have, I would say, livable conditions, and that's in quotation marks. So most repairs don't even exceed
$7,500. So we don't go anywhere near making a whole house to code. And we don't have to?
Well, not necessarily to code, but this is where a roof is leaking, person doesn't have running water, so we'll go in and we'll drill a well and we'll give them running water because they currently don't have it, or they have some kind of injury and they need a handicap ramp. So we construct a handicap ramp to code. Obviously, they have to follow council or county code requirements when it comes to that construction.
And to preface, young children. I don't mean 20-year-old who's still living at home.
Understood.
27 with Obama.
Just to clarify.
Very good.
Grade school children.
Children are 27.
Okay, we're rounding third base here. General fund capital projects. We're going to go into some detail about where we're spending money on our capital projects. Before we talk about expenditures, let's highlight our funding sources.
Bless you.
Here you can see 40% of our capital projects, as Ms. Jennings referenced earlier, is appropriated reserves. We are spending money set aside from previous years to fund these capital projects. That allows us to continue our philosophy as pay as you go and not incur debt on these capital projects. Additional funding comes from realty transfer tax, and we do receive some federal grants, 27%. You're familiar with some of the grants that we receive for our airport. Okay. Highlights for this year's budget in our capital projects, 52% are directed towards the airport and our business park. We do have some significant infrastructure projects at our airport, taxiway improvements. Those are FAA grant eligible, so we will see some of that money back. In the business park, we're now going to construct the interconnection road at the business park as well as the spur road some point in the future. This will allow opening the lots that we can lease and fully expose the business park to the properties available for future tenants, which is our goal, is to build the business park. 31% in administration. The focus there is our broadband initiative, continuing our infrastructure initiative to expand broadband throughout Sussex County. We jump-started that just a few weeks ago, as you're aware of, and we're going to continue those efforts. We're also going to see, finally, the construction of the maintenance building out at the airport. That will have co-location of our county vehicles, our county fleet, as well as our communications division and our paramedics assets. And finally, under public safety, referencing previously Mr. Wilson, we are going to construct the Seaford Station. Council this fiscal year purchased the property. Now we're going to construct the new station north of Seaford. That is our largest and busiest district for paramedic services. Currently, they are stationed in a very small leased area just outside Blades. This is following in the direction we started several years ago, where we're getting out of those leases and we're purchasing properties and building our own stations.
How many leases do we have left?
Well, I can tell you how many we've built. We've built the Laurel Station. We've built the Long Neck Station.
These we own.
These are properties that we own in fee simple and the stations that we own and now maintain. So Laurel, Long Neck, Lewis on Plantations Road, and 105 down on Sussex County property that we built at the South Coastal facility. And our next one is going to be at our Seaford North facility. And
on that $500 million property we have, that we done bought over near Seaford, do we have a contract on getting that building built yet? How much is it going to cost to get that building built? So that would be a higher cost, correct?
Certainly, we have to build the station. The just under $500,000 was used to purchase the property,
yes.
2 acres on 113. The good news. 13. Sorry, keep me straight. The good news is this station will utilize one of our previous plans. So we have our construction plans already on the shelf. We'll pull those off. We'll go out to bid. We'll get those bids, and you will hopefully approve those bids when they come in, and we will build that paramedic station.
Is it that model?
Yeah. It is that model. That is the model off of Plantations Road in Lewis.
I think that's up for discussion, Mr. Lawson.
That's a pretty model.
That is up for discussion. That's correct. Nice. We got to talk about the pilot program and the supervisor. correct. So we'll figure that out as we get into FY19.
Next thing, it's a hotel, isn't it?
And along with that, Todd, how many more do we have out there that, to George's point, that we're leasing, so that are on the future horizon at some point in time? Dagsboro, correct?
Yes. So our priority continues to be Dagsboro. We're located in an area that doesn't allow us to get out on the road quickly at a call. We also have some of our assets located in that industrial park, mm-hmm. Which are going to be now relocated up to the new building that's being built at the airport. Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful to get out of that lease this year and acquire property in the Millsboro South location. That's priority number one. And then as we move forward, we'll start to go through. We still have a station up in Lincoln, mm-hmm. and Milton has increased in demands, and we have the new hospital being built in Milford. So we've got to figure all that out in that territory as well.
And that actually, we have three left that we, right? Yes. The one in Dagsboro, the one in Lincoln, and the one here in Georgetown.
Correct.
That we lease.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. One highlight in the public safety capital projects. We hope to go into design of a new public safety building located out to the current EOC footprint. This public safety building will allow our paramedics to be under the same roof as our EOC 911 dispatcher and emergency preparedness, get them out of the West Complex. This will enhance our services, I believe, and we're going to create a one building which will be for dedicated public safety. So this year we're going to go to design steps for that new building and perhaps future construction.
All right, four more slides. Water and sewer. So going into the water and sewer highlights, we are proposing an increase in sewer service charges and the water service charge. That is $6 a year, $6.24 for the water. That equates to $1.50 per quarter. They are billed quarterly. So we are very careful when we raise rates, and the reason I'm proposing this, so we have been using reserves to keep them going. We didn't raise rates last year. So for example, in the water fund, we used 400,000 of reserves last year. I'm still using 200,000 in reserves this year. We have to start increasing or we're not going to be able to sustain itself. So we have to do that. Now, the good thing is we're increasing it to cover the inflation costs is what we're doing. And so it's not a big increase when you look at inflation. You can see operational budget increases where they are. Again, utilities is directly reflected with the inflation, increase in employment costs. We are seeing an increase in debt payments because we have new districts, new areas coming online. We have Concord Road, Route 54, Angola North. All of those are going to have to start paying their debt payments, so that's reflected in the budget. We will see a decrease in sewer assessment rates in certain areas. So this isn't because their debt's been paid off. It's just because there's growth in that area. So when there's growth and there's more people to spread the cost over, then that's what we do. We lower it because the payment is static. So we are proposing to lower it there. The budget is increasing about $40 million. We'll get onto that in the next slide. But half of it has to do with the ocean outfall. We will continue the 100-foot cap for residential customers, and we're not proposing any increase in the connection fees. So the sewer assessment, the sewer expense highlights, these are the cost of doing business. So this is what we need to sustain. We have a huge utility, and we have a lot of cost to keep it maintained. So you can see some of the initiatives, new vehicles to keep them, on the road, the communications equipment that helps with the communications at our pump stations, the time and materials contracts, these are replacing sewer lids, storm valves, force mains. We have some capital pumping equipment that has to do with generators, and then a irrigation rigs at the Inland Bays facility. So moving on to the capital projects. So as you can see, this is a large five-year capital plan of $220 million. And I like to look at this as in different categories of what you see. You have planned expansions of about $8.6 million. You have compliance upgrades of $31.3 million. The largest being, if you see the Rehoboth Beach outfall, that's our contribution. That's the $21 million. Again, that's half of the $40 million you're seeing in total expenditures. And then you have just new areas, elimination of septic systems. So that is $7 million. And the largest you'll see is the Herring Creek sewer area that's going to be starting the construction. We started some design and things, but it's really heating up the next 4 years. You'll see over on the left, some of these are the design works between Inland Bays. We have the Wolf Neck expansion, and the bottom has to do with the Western Sussex Sewer District. And you can see the cost over 4 years for that district expansion as well.
This all goes back to the user's fee, correct?
User fees, connection fees, yes, it's paid for this by the sewer district.
Gina, can you, if you don't mind, go back that one real quick. And then just that, of the $220 million, give or take,
yep.
Do you have it broken down, i.e. projects that are there to sustain what we currently have versus projects that are there to increase capacity and provide new services to new users?
I do. And I have it broken out, just what I gave you right now for 19, mm-hmm. but I could also do the other, I just don't have it written down, the other ones. But you can see most of it is growth. Whenever you see, the easiest thing to do is when you see expansion means growth. That'll be paid for with connection fees. Compliance is just the growth of the system. And then all those other areas down below, pretty much the bottom half, all has to do with new areas coming online that are the septic system elimination projects.
I think if you have that
sure.
Something, I think, because I think it's relevant. I mean, just as we move forward with, I think it's also, I would say, it's an attribution to your and Todd's leadership, because we actually can plan right for our future.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important for our public to know that this is for what we currently have, and this is also what we have for our future growth.
Right.
And then maybe, I think that's important.
Sure,
to attribute that.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Yep. And then focusing on the septic remediation projects that are in the five-year plan, This is $60 million worth of projects right here. Works out to be about 2,000 EDUs that will be coming on in the next 5 years. So we continue to expand, and economies of scale will play a big part as you bring in more customers to spread the cost over. So we're going to be very busy, and engineering department is staying on top of it.
Those are planned new EDUs?
Yes, correct.
Existing properties, right?
Properties, but yeah. New connections to our system.
Taking them off septics and...
Yep.
Most of these people has referendums whether they want to come on or not.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So I had no quorum with that.
Yep.
They all select if they want to come on, yes.
Right.
Or have the option to.
That's important for the public to know that.
So that concludes our presentation. It will be available online on our website. Our public hearing is scheduled for June 19th. And we do have an email address that if you want to send budget comments directly to the budget committee so that we can look at them and address them during the public hearing, it's budget@sussexcountyde.gov.
So public can send an email there if they have specific questions.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you both very much for your time and putting this together. A very good presentation. As people can see, we're very busy. Which is a good thing in some ways. Somebody, I guess, is going to read the proposed ordinance introductions.
Yes. So I have three ordinances for introduction. The first one is an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2019.
Anybody want to introduce that?
So moved.
Mr. Coleman, yep. Coleman introduced it.
Next one's an ordinance establishing the annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and or connection charges for all Sussex County water and sanitary sewer districts.
Yep, so moved.
Mr. Cole introduced it.
Okay, and the next one, an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 62, Fees, Article 6, Recorder of Deeds regarding online document retrieval fees.
I'll introduce
Mr. Cole introduces it.
There you go.
He's on a roll. Thank you very much.
Symbolic.
Mr. Lawson, your report, please.
Yes, sir.
Triple crown.